So we have Jesus and we have John, and we're standing at the river. Now, it would be easy, almost, to read this as sort of a power play, right? Who's really in charge here? Is it Jesus? Is it John? What's going on? Except, of course, that's not at all what's going on in this story. It's not about who has more power. It's about what each person needs and wants, which makes it entirely different. Jesus has come to be baptized, which is a point which continues to befuddle and amaze New Testament scholars and faithful people everywhere. Why would Jesus need to be baptized? We don't really know. We know that he was baptized and that he saw this as important, and that's really all we've got there. And we have John standing there, who has been proclaiming the coming of the Messiah, of this Jesus character who has finally shown up literally right in front of him. And they look at each other, and Jesus says, "I'm here to be baptized." And John says, "But I'm the one who should be baptized by you." We don't, like I said, we don't know why Jesus feels the need to be baptized. We've sort of assumed it's in obedience to something that God has asked Jesus to do that we don't fully understand. If you've ever been asked by God to do anything, and I assume that you have, you understand why that can be somewhat inexplicable. Yes. But you can understand why John is also somewhat bewildered by that. But what do you mean you're to be baptized by me? You're greater than I am. You're the one I'm waiting for. I need you. Well, Jesus stands there and looks at him and says, "But I need you." I think there's something very important in that moment before we get to the next great moment, which is, of course, Jesus coming out of the water and the dove coming down. And it's a beautiful moment. You could preach on that one forever. People have. You have these two men, these two sort of iconic figures of the gospel, standing there looking at each other, saying, without really saying it, that they both need each other. This story doesn't work without the other one. This is what baptism is. And not just because we have, you know, John the Baptist on one hand side of this conversation and Jesus, the Son of God, on the other side. Although that certainly helps in preaching on this. But because baptism isn't just about me or you, or as we frequently practice baptism, the small child we're baptizing. Okay, this is the part where you're going to have to pick up your books of common prayer. And I want you to turn to page 304. Now, there are really good odds that despite my cold, you're looking at the baptismal covenant. Because there are some things that not even a cold can rattle around in my head. If you were to flip back a page, and you don't have to, you would notice that the Book of Common Prayer asks that everyone who is present for a baptism say this together. It's not something we ask someone who's being baptized to stand up and say in front of us while we stand there. And like normal human beings, you know, we would look at them in this slightly judging way. Like, are you really sure you can do that, darling? Admit it, that's how we do it. At least that's how I do it. Maybe you have all succeeded at becoming better human beings than I have. But I think that's mostly how we would do it. Because what the baptismal covenant asks of us is huge. It's not a small thing we step into when we are baptized. The first part is perhaps the easiest part. And that's saying something, because that's the part where we agree that we'll believe the same thing Christians have believed for 2,000 years. You know, in God and Jesus and the resurrection and the death and the Holy Spirit. And these are not small things to believe in. And then it goes on to ask us to make 5 promises. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and the prayers? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Okay, this is where my cold is getting to me. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you respect the dignity of every human being and strive for justice and peace? Ah, got that last one backwards. But I'm doing fairly well there. These are not small things. And the entire community, along with the person about to be baptized, responds, this is where you have to say something. Everyone who is there, everyone who has ever been baptized, says, I will, with God's help. We look at each other, kind of like Jesus and John did long, long ago, standing on the banks of the River Jordan, and say, I'm going to do this, but I can't do this alone. I need you to tell me when I'm not doing a very good job of respecting my neighbor. I need you to tell me when I'm falling down and slipping back into sinning a little bit. I need you to help hold me accountable to these things I'm promising to do. And I'll do the same for you. And together, as a community, we make these promises. And we say it's not going to be easy. I love promise too. Whenever you fall into sin, we acknowledge that it's going to happen. But we also say that we will do this. We will undertake this Herculean task. Because it's only after you undertake that sort of Herculean task that you get to the moment after this. In today's gospel story, where Jesus comes up from the water and the Spirit of God descends like a dove and says, this is my child with whom I am well pleased. Remember, Jesus has done very little by now in the gospel. Nobody has been raised from the dead. There have been no miraculous healings. He's just starting out. He's declared his intention. And God says, I'm pretty happy with them already. I'm well pleased. Our baptism is a declaration of our intention. And in the wisdom of the people who wrote our baptismal covenant, we have said, we're not perfect. We can't do it alone. And we aren't expected to. And we need to be reminded of this. We need to be reminded of this every time we baptize someone. We need to be reminded of this as often as is possible. But at the end of the day, even more than that, we need to be reminded that we are God's beloved child, with whom God is very well pleased. Amen.